I got what I came for. After life's gone, but the fire kept me below. You get what you paid for.
What's going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. I want to open with an apology real quick. In case you're wondering why there was no nameless halftime show during the playoff game, it's because usually halftime is after two quarters, and this week halftime was about 4 seconds into the game, so we just really didn't have time to prepare for that. So that's the reason for that. And with that, what's up, Doug and DJ?
What's up? Gabe, we were right. I mean, we always are, but we were right again. You know, we did say that any score pretty much would be the end of the game, and it is what it is.
I mean, I'm not the guy to bring up my old quotes, but I did say I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots had only 20 yards and the game's not even close. I know they had more than 20 yards, but it was the equivalent of 20 yards.
Yeah, it was garbage shit.
So, I had a feeling it'd be by multiple possessions. I just didn't expect the first perfect offensive game in history. Like, holy shit.
You know what I'd like to know, though? So Josh's official passer rating or QB rating is 157.6.
I was just about to...
Yeah, well, a perfect one is 158.3, and I want to know what he did wrong to get 0.7 less than perfect.
Trubisky took the knees, so yeah, and I don't know.
No, I know why. Before, remember the touchdown to Tommy Doyle?
Yeah.
Before that play, he was at the yards per attempt needed for the 158.3, because that was a 1 yard touchdown. His average fell below what was needed.
Holy shit.
So if that touchdown was like a 5 or 6 yard touchdown, it would have been 158.3.
Whatever.
It just came down to stupid. I don't know who came up with passer rating, but it's, I don't know. I just feel like I don't believe in QBR. I just know that there's some loops in the system where it's just, you just have to give or take it. It was still a fantastic game.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's talking about the offensive performance, but man, the defense played really good too. Lights out performance. Micah Hyde had the interception of the century, so
he did. And I'm not saying that things would have been different just because, you know, the Bills were clearly the better team. But if Mac Jones throws a 50-yard touchdown to tie that game 7-7, I'm not saying, you know, that big of a. But you never know. Like, he could have gotten some confidence. You know, crowd could have been taken out of it a little bit. But I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a game-changing pick, in my opinion, too. I agree with that take completely. I think that...
Yeah, at that point, this game's over.
Yeah. Yeah, Hyde literally came out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. Also, interesting fact, we're not even talking about right now, but I did see somewhere today, NFL Next Gen Stats posted that Josh Allen was the fourth fastest ball carrier this week.
Fourth fastest.
Faster than... I think he was only behind, like, Mecole Hardman, bitch. And there was Mecole Hardman.
Was it Deebo Samuel?
Deebo Samuel and two other wideouts. And then Tyreek Hill and everybody else was, like, below Josh. Josh got a speed of 19.38 or something.
I can't remember who else was atop of them, but, yeah, I saw that too.
That's a crazy fucking stat.
It is
like Pat McAfee said, Josh Allen is a fucking wagon. He's a fucking caboose. You can't stop him. He's undefendable. And like, holy fuck, if we play like we did that on Saturday against every team for the rest of the way here, we're not losing. So,
I mean, he had six rushes for 66 yards. So I think it's pretty clear what's going on here. Josh Allen's got a pentagram somewhere in his freaking basement. He's made a deal. And that's where we're at. So whatever happens, happens. I'm not messing around with that shit.
He also had more touchdowns and incompletions like that game really, just to put a sum on his performance, that's just everything that we said. Undefendable. He can do when he's on fire, he's on fire. But you have to wonder, like how bad the Patriots defense was second all year. And the fact that they put out the perfect game plan to just absolutely massacre them is very wow.
I honestly think they're insanely overrated. I said that going into the game. Like I they're ranked good because of schematics, but there's nothing like aggressive or intimidating about the defense at all. Really. Like,
yeah. I mean,
linebackers are older.
Like yeah. They had no, I might've been able to block those guys. They look so overpowered.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, they definitely seem to be an overrated defense for what they are. But I mean, there's still people out there. He goes out and does that against the number two ranked defense, and there's still people saying Patrick Mahomes is better. And if they had to play the Bengals, Joe Burrow would beat them. And I'm like, I don't know what people like. What did Keyshawn Johnson just say like 2 hours ago?
That he would take a healthy Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen.
Yeah,
so it's just they only did these big media guys just to do all that. But
I mean, you can make the argument for Mahomes, and I respect that one.
But healthy Lamar Jackson,
but not okay. Lamar. I'm sorry,
but can you can? I mean, has Josh eclipsed these guys? I heard who said something about Josh. Josh was elite, or no, it was Ryan Clark. Josh is elite, but he's not in the same category as Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Well, what the fuck does elite mean then? He said he's elite, but he's not those guys. In my opinion,
you have to win an MVP and a Super Bowl. That's honestly what it means.
So you got to win bullshit awards. Well, the MVP doesn't mean shit if you don't win the Super Bowl. I'd rather not go to the Pro Bowl, not win the MVP, and hoist the Lombardi in February.
Well, it's definitely not because of the Pro Bowl, because the Pro Bowl is like the most irrelevant game that means nothing in the grand scheme of things. Nothing. So people
if fans are voting on the Pro Bowl, it right there becomes
exactly.
Yeah.
And also the game not only put all the bullshit talk about Allen, like how this team can't play in the snow, how Allen can't throw in the cold, but it also put away the talks of having a dome.
Yeah, there's no fucking dome.
Do you think
Ryan Fitzpatrick wants a fucking dome?
That video was fantastic.
Yeah. Everything about that is fantastic.
Everyone take your complaints to him. I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. He's going to tell you to get the fuck out of there. He went to Harvard. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's going to tell you. There's no that is mind blowing that there's an active quarterback making $10 million a year playing for an opposing team, a team that we played this year at a home game in the playoffs, rooting for the Bills.
That is dedication.
Not even like a suite. He was just in the stands.
Yeah, he was in the stands with normal people with no shirt on. And by the way, Fitz, you gave me all the confidence in the world to not wear my shirt anymore, bud. I needed that. So
Fitzpatrick can have anyone he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just looks, he epitomizes Buffalo. That dude, has he ever beaten the Patriots when he was on? When the Dolphins and the Jets and us, he didn't beat them that often.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a big one.
I think he had
a big win against the Patriots in 2015, which they almost, but then they lost to the Bills the next week.
Okay.
And then Fitzpatrick beat the Patriots the year where the Patriots lost out in the first round bye in 2019.
Okay.
So
either way, so Fitz has seen his fair share of the Patriots beat down on the AFC East. That dude was definitely one of us during that game. I mean, that video I believe was taken after the first touchdown to Dawson Knox, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
I mean, like, how fucking pumped do you have to be? You literally are an active quarterback. Like, I can't get over that fact.
As great as that is just so freaking random, though. Like,
it's so Buffalo. That dude
epitomized such a mind fuck.
He epitomized Buffalo when he was here, and he epitomizes it when he's gone. That he will sign a one-day deal and retire as a Bill. No doubt.
And the fact that he played for over like 75% of the AFC East, he was there for the Jets during their one good year, the Dolphins. And so the fact that he went as a Dolphins quarterback, he went like, I'm going to get in trouble, but Buffalo is my favorite city in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like as the Dolphins quarterback, like, so it's just,
yeah, I mean, there were so many. Kyle Brandt was at the game.
Yep.
I mean, there was so many
guys. You know what? I'm making an executive decision. This week's Buffalo's best blitzer of the week is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I can get down with that. 100%.
We were perfectly good with that.
I mean, we don't give duplicates, and it would have been Josh Allen. So,
well, there you go. So could have given it to a bunch of people, though.
Or Micah Hyde for the interception.
Yeah, we already gave it to Hyde this year already.
Also,
yeah. Yeah, next year we're gonna make an award so we can ship these things to people, and maybe they'll take a picture with it, and we'll be famous, kind of. Buffalo's best player of the week. Still a player, so I mean, I guess it counts.
I don't know. It could be like a gold pizza.
I don't know. Yeah, we don't know what it could be.
A gold pizza. Then it's just.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick had himself a day. One fantastic beard. 10 beers chugged. And no shirts.
Yeah, a great day. It's a great day. In Buffalo, that's a dub.
And a dub.
And yeah, that award means way more than the Pro Bowl.
I can honestly say that. Yeah, I can honestly say, guys, too, like, you guys know, I've watched, you know, I always talk about how fucking old I am. But I remember all these games, and, like, that was one of the best games I ever got to watch. The pure excitement of watching that masterpiece was unbelievable. I remember the 20 years of shit vividly. It has shaped who I am as a person.
I can tell. No, I'm just kidding.
So, well, that makes sense. But yeah, like, I just hope we get to experience more of this, because this is like, after watching that game and seeing what they do, I mean, I really don't feel like there's a team in the NFL right now that can beat them. They are that defense is more scary to me than the offense, and the offense is playing outrageous, but no one's really talking about. I feel the defense has dominated the last 5 weeks, and we're talking about a defense that's dominating without Trey White. And yeah, this week will be his biggest test, blah blah blah. I don't know if they need, I'm gonna probably get hate, but I don't even know if they honestly look better without Trey White. So
I want to save that for when we get into that. So what we're going to do is we're done with the Patriots. We'll get on to we're going to finish with Bills Chiefs, and we want to just take a look at the rest of the NFL right now.
Hang on though. Let me get, I got to grab a number 17.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So guys, make sure you get your number 17s for the playoff game on Sunday night. If you might as well get a number 14 as well from Brickyard, you know, cause obviously 17 plus 14 always equals six. It's the perfect equation. Some of the best IPAs out in Western New York. You can get them at Brickyard out in Lewiston, or you can go to Consumers Beverage and get them as well. But if you're going to drink local, and obviously drink the best beers you can possibly drink, why not? Treat your body good, like a temple that it is. So
also, number 14 beer now has a double meaning, Diggs and Fitzpatrick. So,
oh,
yes.
There you go. Hey, Brickyard, when you listen to this episode, make sure you put something out about that.
All right, so let's get to Bengals Titans.
I can lead off if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Apparently, I got a lot to say tonight, but the football fan in me wants to see the Bengals. I want to see Joe Burrow. I like him. I think the Bengals are exciting to watch on offense, especially. I think it's all going to come down to, which he's not. I mean, we record on Tuesday. Everyone knows this. We record on Tuesdays, and Derrick Henry has not been activated yet. So a lot rides on Tennessee's success to, because they're going to have to control the clock against the Bengals. The best defense against the Bengals is keeping Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase off the field and Joe Mixon. If Derrick Henry is healthy, that makes it a little bit easier. If he's not, then I give it the edge to the Bengals. I think this is going to be a close game. I mean, I want it to be Cincinnati winning, obviously, because I want Joe Burrow. I want to face them, because I also think that's an easier path to the Super Bowl. If we, of course, this is assuming we beat Kansas City. But if we do and we have to play that team, I would pick to play Cincinnati. I know that sounds crazy because I just talked about how good they are, but I don't think Joe Burrow is ready for that moment yet. I like our chances there. Vrabel's been in that moment, hey, so he can get the Titans prepared, you know, on a better level. I think you got a young coach in Zach Taylor. You got a young team in Cincinnati. I just don't know that they're ready for the moment.
I mean, I agree that they are the youngest, you know, they're young, and that it's going to take a couple years for them to finally get to that moment. But there's really nothing scary about the Tennessee Titans. They're honestly the weakest one seed that I've seen, you know, and apparently in the last few years. Like, let's look at all the matchups. Like, of course, quarterback, advantages, quarterback, wide receiver, The only place where I see like any advantage that the Tennessee Titans have is honestly their defensive line, because the Bengals offensive line has been makeshift at best. Joe Burrow is the most sacked QB in football, and Tennessee does have guys. They have Jeffrey Simmons on the inside. They have Harold Landry. They have some other underrated linebackers as well, but like their corner room is crap. Like Christian Fulton, can't even, let me look here. They hit
Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, Adoree Jackson. No, he's a Giant. Kevin Byard's good. Byard's good, but I just don't. But Janoris Jenkins, it's just,
that's what I was thinking of. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins. Yeah, that's fine. But but also the Bengals have a really underrated cornerback room. Like they have Mike Hilton from those. He's been a stud in the slot. They have Chidobe Awuzie. They have Jesse Bates, who's been like one of the best safeties in the NFL. He's been rated. So it's just, the only place where I see it happening is where Tennessee has to get pressure to Joe Burrow. That's the only way they win. But other than that, I give every single advantage to the Bengals, because Zach Taylor is a good coach. Like the Bengals have a really good running game in Joe Mixon. He's been so underrated. And now with them having a team together, he's shown that he's a star. I just think in every single facet of the game, besides one, I think that the Bengals have the right personnel to take care of the Titans. One and done.
To me, the Titans, it's weird. They kind of remind me of the Cowboys a little bit with the up and down season they've been having. They're either really hot and they win in LA against the Rams, they kick the crap out of them, and then they lose to the Houston Texans. And you don't know who you're going to get, really. I know the big thing that everyone wants to talk about is, will Derrick Henry play or not? And yeah, that is a factor. But in playoff football, one running back is not going to define a whole playoff series or a whole playoff game in that matter, in my opinion. So he won't be the make or break deal about it, in my opinion. I'm gonna say they'll win because of experience and the home crowd and the rest they're getting, but I expect it to be a close game that they win by less than a possession.
You know, you said the Titans are, you know, playing, you know, a little extra rest. Is that a good thing, playing against the Cincinnati team who has been rolling for the last month?
It all depends on your preparation.
Fair.
We don't know what goes on in house. So, I mean, that's a dilemma for the one seed every year, in my opinion. And sometimes they lay an egg like the Ravens did against the Titans that one year, they use it to their advantage, which is what it's there for. Because you earn that top seed. So it all depends on coaching and preparation for that issue.
And in regards to preparations, I think the Bengals are like too star studded to just, I think this is honestly the worst matchup that the, I know this really wasn't saying much because we knew the Steelers weren't going to do anything. We knew that the Raiders lost, but like, I think it's a very bad matchup. I just think that the Bengals have all of these pieces that they can absolutely go into Tennessee and just win because.
Well, wait a minute. You say we knew about the Raiders. No, me and DJ knew. You picked the Raiders. If anything, this is, in your way of thinking, this is more favorable for the Titans.
Yeah. So with that, actually, that logic is why I'm going to now change my pick to the Titans. I was picking the Bengals, and I'm 100% going to the Titans now. Titans will win at home.
I only chose the Raiders because of the narrative.
The previous week before that, you said the Baker Mayfield was better than Derek Carr, and you ate those words. And then you picked the Raiders, and you ate those words.
All right, so no. When Baker Mayfield
gets your narrative is not himself. What it is.
Okay, we're not going to. Okay, I'm okay. Fine, lone wolf. I'm going Bengals. I don't care.
By the way, Odell Beckham, how are you feeling? But anyway, so next game, Niners at Packers. I don't really want to talk about this one.
Yeah. Right now, the Niners are currently, they're definitely on a hot streak. They're kind of like looking like their 2019 self is like a very solid running game. Very physical playmakers in Kittle and Deebo Samuel. Their corner room is not really. And honestly, I think in this game, in regards to how the Packers play. I think it's going to be ride or die through Jimmy G. I just don't think, especially with the elements, it's going to be like 0 degrees. It's going to be, and I think that while the Niners are going to be offensive, they could definitely keep the ball, but I think it's going to come down to which team is more electric, and I'm going to have to give that to the Packers. And we and go DJ.
Yeah, I think that this is a good matchup. This is it's another one of those 90s matchups that I grew up watching. Packers and San Fran. I love these back-to-back fucking nostalgic games for me. These are great matchups. So the only thing is, I think that San Fran's kind of lucky to be in this position. Jimmy G tried giving that game away against Dallas.
Yep.
So that's concerning. But Deebo Samuel is that dude. Like, holy shit. He's going to give them problems. I don't think it's enough to win. I think Green Bay and Lambeau in January is too much to overcome. You know, Jimmy G also played at New England, so he has a little familiarity with colder weather. So I don't think the weather thing is a big deal, in my opinion. Not for Jimmy G, at least. But I don't know. I think that Jimmy G will probably end up costing them the game, honestly. I think I don't worry about Kittle. I don't worry about, you know, Deebo and Ayuk and Eli Mitchell. They're going to do what they do, and that's fine. I just don't know if it's enough. I mean, the Packers are also coming in super-duper healthy.
Coming back, Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, Billy Turner, Bakhtiari is rolling. So it's just, this is like the healthiest they've been. And even though they are missing their all-pro guard, Elgin Jenkins, I think their line has been makeshift all year. Like, it's literally been backups all year, and they were still able to get to the number one.
With the Packers coming back being so healthy, and the Niners got hot, and I think towards the end of that Dallas game, we saw their hot streak kind of maybe coming to an end. I think the magic might be gone. And I just think, like I said, in Lambeau in January, I think the Packers are going to win this one.
I got a few things to say about this one. One, just looking at the Niners alone. So they had a fight at the end just to get in the playoffs, and with the extra week of the regular season. And then right away they go play a road playoff game and they win it. And you have to think, okay, extra week of the regular season, no rest, playoffs right away. You travel to Dallas, you win, you travel home, you only have 3 days to practice and prepare for the Packers, and then come Friday, you have to travel again. I think jet lag and fatigue could play a factor in this game. Packers haven't moved in a month. And like we said with the Bengals-Titans game, depending on your preparation, that could hurt or help you. Another thing about the way the Niners beat the Cowboys. Cowboys had 14 penalties in that game. Dak completed only 50% of his passes, I think, or around 50%. And the Niners only won by 6. So I think they were just the better of the, I don't want to say worst teams, because neither one of those teams is bad. But on that particular day, they were the not as bad team that showed up that day. So now talking about that game, the Niners and Packers have a history, real recent history of the Niners beating the Packers, except for this past year when the Packers beat them with the last second field goal in San Fran. This is the first time where this era of players is going to play this matchup in Green Bay, and it's going to be very cold. I know, DJ, you said that might not be a factor for Jimmy G, but Jimmy G does have he still has a torn ligament in his thumb, and now he's got a new shoulder sprain that might be affecting him in that weather. A lot of that reversal, those plays that they like to run, like on the line of scrimmage that make them so powerful, those reverses and stuff like that. If it's snowy, that limits your speed, that I don't think you'll see those types of plays. Fred Warner and Nick Bosa were injured. They're expected to play, but if those two guys are out, those are their two best defensive players. That would really suck for them. And I think if the Packers put the Niners in a situation, like let's say the Packers get up to at least a 10-point lead early in that game, and now the Niners have to throw. They can't do that power run offense that they want. I think they're screwed.
And I think the only place where the Niners actually have the edge is like their D line. But like I said before, the Packers offensive line has just been dynamite all year. They do have Fred Warner, Eric Armstead, but the Packers have had backups all year. Like Lucas Patrick has been playing center, even though Josh Myers should be coming back. Yeah, Billy Turner is going to be. It's going to be interesting where they put him. They've been having Dennis Kelly Willard right tackle, and that was honestly a great pickup for them. They got him from Tennessee, but I think they're going to play the game that like the Niners play with like the run game. Cause like, I think they have like the most, well, one of the most dynamic running back tandems in the NFL with Jones and Dylan. Like they're going to play it right back. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay really rolled that way, because they really want to get that revenge from the last playoff loss and then just do what they can to keep the ball out of the offense's hands. And just the only thing where they really have to put to the test is like they have to be going to the red zone. The Packers have been a little, I've watched their games, that like they've been kind of iffy in the red zone. They just, if they can figure that out, I wouldn't be surprised if they win by a couple.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I said that Dak Prescott was Tony Romo last week.
You did.
And I meant it because that's what he is. So there's that. Sorry. And then I do have to say that we haven't really talked about Shanahan being the coach of the Niners. You know, he's not one of these young coaches that doesn't have experience or know how to call a game. So I think that he will have the Niners ready to go. I just, not to say that that's the factor in why the Niners would potentially win or lose, but I think that Shanahan's really good and he'll have him ready to go. But I just definitely still think it's Packers.
So is that three Packers?
Yeah. Three Packers.
Okay. Oh boy. Yep. So Bucks Rams, who wants to start?
Ooh, I will.
Okay.
I want this game to end in nobody winning.
Same.
I hate both fucking teams.
You hate the Rams?
Yeah, I don't care for them. I don't know. This game is interesting. It's probably going to be one of the better games of the weekend in terms of pure entertainment value. You got Tom Brady versus, like, you know, almost the second coming of the greatest show on turf, it seems like, these days. You know, the Rams offense is pretty explosive. It's in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so it's in Tampa. I don't know. This is a coin flip game to me. I don't think either team is really I don't think any team has a slight edge over the other. I think it's really going to come down to who executes, because both teams are good. Let's face it. Both defenses are solid. Both offenses are great. So I think it's going to come down to execution. The team that makes the most mistakes, or least amount of mistakes, least amount of turnovers, probably wins the game. As far as looking forward past this game, I would say I'd want the Rams to win, because I'd like to see Rams play Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. I know you two idiots don't want that at all, but
no, we do.
No, we don't. We do want that.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck with that, because that's what it's probably going to be. Be careful what you wish for.
No, because I know how the NFL works. If Brady gets there, things get questionable.
What about LA playing in LA for the Super Bowl home field advantage?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No.
You guys are dum-dums. You didn't even think of that?
No, I did, but I'd rather take my chances with Stafford than Brady.
I guess that's fair, but I wouldn't want to face that Rams defense.
They faced it. It was pretty much the same last year, and they didn't allow it. And they didn't, I don't think they only allowed like two pressures.
Relax. Matt Stafford's not Jared Goff. I don't know.
Cornerback they signed off the street, Rasul Douglas, pick six them. So I don't know, man.
All right. Well, I'm not going to super analyze this one, because to me, it's going to be too close of a game. I'm picking the Rams slightly.
I don't know, because both teams are kind of banged up. Both teams are going to be missing their best tackles. Rams, Andrew Whitworth. Right now, Tristan Wirfs is in a walking boot, so he's questionable. Certain injuries. Ronald Jones is questionable. It looks very questionable. He's still day to day. I guess we'll see from there, but I don't know. I have a feeling not. But the Rams have a ton of injuries. Like, they're missing Taylor Rapp. They're missing, but I'm going to go towards a narrative thing here again. Like, I think it's going to be a great game. It actually might be one of the best games of the year, but I just have a feeling that Tampa Bay is just going to squeak it out. they're just going to do what they do. And then it's going to come down to Matt Stafford. I think in the situation, he's not going to be perfect. It's going to come down to that. So I'm going to give, and I think Tampa has a little bit more experience in regards to clutchness, if you know what I mean. Because I know that the Rams have made the playoffs three of the last 4 years. And it's I think both teams are banged up, and I think that the Tampa is just going to find a way to just get it done.
You know, I agree with both of your points, and I understand both of your points. And for me, the Rams, if those injuries hold the way they are, the Rams technically, I think, should win. Jalen Ramsey takes out Mike Evans. He's built to cover that type of receiver, right? And if the Bucs don't have a run game, then it's – if Mike Evans is out of the equation, then it's Gronk, Tyler Johnson, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard against whoever they match up against. And then you have Leonard Floyd and Von Miller against a backup. And now apparently Tristan Wirfs' backup is injured. So you've got Von Miller and Leonard Floyd against a potential third-string right tackle. And then offensively for the Rams, it's tough. The Rams, the football, from just a football perspective, the Rams should win this game. But for what you said about the Bucs, would not surprise me at all if they won that game. And I don't know. I really don't know what to pick, because I know too well that Brady will just win a game that he's not supposed to.
Like, I just have a feeling that, like, one of those backup Bucs wide receivers, like, just to throw a name out there, Tyler Johnson, is just going to come clutch when he absolutely needs to be. It just – I don't even – I'm just going to throw a name out there.
The Rams did beat the Bucs in L.A. by, like, double the score in week four. But I don't know this time.
They have Breshad Perriman. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Tyler, I just think they're going to come up with a way to – like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they just do the old where it's just a bunch of quick slants just to get down the field, and then just they just have to be good in the red zone. And honestly, the Rams should play the exact same thing, because having Cam Akers back is going to be their key, because they need to keep Tom Brady off the field. But I feel like it's going to come down to, like, the Bucs defensive line, like, you know, getting, you know, causing losses in yards, whether it's sacks or lost or tackles for loss in the run game. And then Matt Stafford's going to make a mistake. I just have a feeling they're going to scheme certain ways so that happens. So that's why I see Tampa just squeaking it out in the most luckiest way possible again. But everything you said there, I agree. It's just,
I want the Rams to win. The Rams should win, but I'm going to pick the Bucs just to try to reverse jinx them. And that's where I'm at with that.
I'm the exact same boat. I'm going to choose the Bucs. I believe, but yes, I agree. The Rams right now are the more talented team, but I give it to the Bucs because they're the Bucs. The NFL likes riding on them for no reason. Well, we know the reason, but it's stupid.
All right, next.
Who's next?
Well, I mean, like, next game.
I know. Who's the next game?
Oh, I think the Jets and Texans are in for a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you talking about? Bills fucking Chiefs?
This portion of the episode is sponsored by Premier Cigars, the Premier Cigar Lounge in Buffalo, New York. 1327 Jefferson Avenue. Put some smoke in the air.
Bills fucking Chiefs. 364 days for redemption. Almost a year to the day.
Is it really? Is that what it is?
It is almost a year to the day. I can't wait to slap the shit out of Jackson Mahomes and his stupid quarterback brother.
You know, you can't pick your brother. That's not Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel bad for Pat there. I really feel like, you know.
He picked his wife.
He did pick his wife.
He did pick it. Okay, well, that's where Pat fucked up. And that's
one out of two. All right, that's one out of two.
His decision-making skills are not the best. I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't know. I am all I can see picturing in my head when I think about the Chiefs is last year with Diggs watching confetti fall. And I do not ever want to feel that way again. And I'm pretty sure almost every player on the roster does not want to feel that way again this year. In a quick synopsis, I don't think the Bills lose this game. I just don't. I think they want it more. in a game like this too, where this is now the fourth time we've played Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the last 500 days. We're familiar with the Chiefs. Everything we did this offseason was to play the Chiefs and to beat them in January. And coming off one of the historic offensive performance, I just don't see the train stopping, so to speak.
And to belly off on DJ's point, I think the biggest thing for the Bills to win this game is that all the receivers are going to be healthy. Last year, Beasley broke his leg. Even Diggs wasn't healthy. He had an oblique injury. With Sanders and Davis in the mix. Davis was also hurt last year too, and now Docs. So like they have way more weapons.
If you cut me off again, I'm gonna have cousin.
That's what I do.
I'm gonna have cousin Carmine fucking waterboard you.
Speaking of that, I'm not gonna give any details, but 7-1 Blitz is gonna be producing I don't even know how to describe this.
the greatest thing the internet's ever seen.
The greatest, stupidest thing you'll ever see. And it's coming next season. All I want to say right now, cousin Carmine.
Cousin Carmine. It's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And if Doug cuts me off again, we're gonna have to get him out early. But yeah, I think everything we've done for the Chiefs, you know, is to prepare for the Chiefs and to be ready to do this again and to not have that feeling like we had last January. And I also think that if the Bills can win this game, which I think they can, in my opinion, there's no one stopping us. We'll be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. So, I just think that's my opinion. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Josh Allen on his third leg will be standing up and doing things.
Gabe, you want to take the reins?
Sure. So we kind of said last year that the last four teams were going to be the same last four teams this year, right? Remember that? And it looks very possible. Well, obviously it can't be because the Bills are playing the Chiefs in this round instead of that round, but I honestly think this technically is the AFC Championship because I think whoever wins this game will win the AFC. That being said, DJ, you covered the emotional part, but I got to get into some of the facts. The last time the Bills played the Chiefs, they beat them in Kansas City, which was big. Difference this time, the Chiefs that time were down a defensive star player. This time he's back, and now the Bills are down a defensive star player.
We didn't have Milano last time either.
Okay, but I think this one's more important.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. Chiefs were down Chris Jones, arguably their best defensive player, in my opinion. And now the Bills will be without Trey White. Now, since Trey White's injury, I honestly think the Bills have only played one great quarterback, or even good quarterback for that matter, and that's Brady. And I know they almost won that game, but that first half looked atrocious. I don't really think they've been tested apart from that game without Trey White at all. And last year, even Trey White was having a hard time hanging with Tyreek Hill. So I'm really curious what the secondary does for him and Kelsey just to start. It's going to be really dependent on the front four to get pressure on Mahomes, because if you can't pressure Mahomes, I don't know how much the coverage without Trey White is going to hold against those guys.
And to follow up to Gabe's realistic point, not only are they going to have Chris Jones back, but from what I remember, Melvin Ingram wasn't there either.
He was not.
So not only are they going to have Chris Jones in his original position at defensive tackle, but they're going to have Melvin Ingram and Frank Clark going against the offensive line. And right now, the Bills' offensive line has looked pretty good since
better than pretty good, man.
But what have we said though? That Patriots defense, even their defensive line, overrated. I don't know if they've played a good pass rush. And exactly. this specific pass rush, I don't know what it is about it. They seem to know how to get in Josh's head, or at least they have in the past when it's both Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I don't know why they get to him.
I am going to give the Bills offensive line credit for, because you know that I know that what we said about the Pats defense, but it was against a top tier defense. We have to give them the credit for that. And Ryan Bates has looked awesome.
Yeah, but Bates has been great.
That he has a huge test this weekend. From what it looks like, he's going to be playing Chris Jones one-on-one, and I don't. And right now, the odds are against him. The odds are absolutely like we said it all year long that the O line was going to be the Achilles heel for this team, and right now, this is like setting up a script where that plays it because think about it, with Chris Jones back, they're going to be pressuring. Josh Allen's going to have to run around, and then that's going to give the defensive ends like time to get to Josh Allen, which will lead to just, you know, throwaways. It's just,
what games are you watching, dude? Josh Allen is better when things are unscripted. And
I'm not saying that. Oh no, I'm saying, but it's the point. They're going to try and make him uncomfortable. That's what I'm trying to say.
He's comfortable when he's uncomfortable.
I'm just saying that it's going to be a test. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be.
It's not even going to be a test.
No.
Okay.
No.
Look, last year the Chiefs beat the crap out of the Bills. This year the Bills beat the crap out of the Chiefs. There, I don't think either one happens. I think this is game of the year potentially. I think this is last possession potentially wins the game type of situation. This is, God forbid, I even say a bad call decides the game or a fluky fumble decides the game. I think it's one of those. I don't think it's one sided either way.
I think it is.
Okay.
And here's another thing.
I've been right lately. Don't test it.
And here's another thing you don't like. Okay.
I don't know. You picked the Eagles to beat the Bucks.
Okay. Fuck off. That was the ref. Yeah. Okay. Baker is better than Derek Carr. Get the fuck out of here. I'm muting your mic.
I didn't say that.
No, I know him laughing at me. Fucking one bad take in two seasons of podcasting. Fuck out of here.
When Baker Mayfield comes back. Okay. No, we're done. But anyway, another thing you're not really going to like is that Singletary has been fourth in the NFL in rushing since week 13. He has averaged 98 yards per game. And no matter if you like, and he's honestly, I know that we think he isn't the answer, but he's honestly looked pretty impressive. Like he's not just running straight lines. He's doing shifting moves. He's causing players to miss. It's honestly been,
but can you say that the reason that he's been successful for the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks now
has no probably one respects been the run.
No. What's his change in 5 weeks? Deion has looked better than he's looked all season.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah.
And Rick Bates is, ever since he's been put in there, the line has looked much better. And that's a coincidence that Singletary is now finding holes and running well.
All I'm saying is what we're used to seeing is Devin Singletary running into some trouble, then he gets 1 or 2 yards. What I've been seeing is him looking like he's in trouble, then he makes a fake move, and then he gets 5 or 6 yards. That's what you need to be successful in the NFL.
He looks strong too. I never seen him break tackles like this.
No, he's breaking tackles. He's doing everything that we've been dogging him for and I don't believe he's the future, but he's been absolutely killing it. And I believe that he is going to be a key to winning this game because they need to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. And the Chiefs running defense isn't good. It's 20th. They do have good linebackers. They have Nick Bolton. They have Willie Gay. They, you know, of course they have Honey Badger, but that's their weak point. And that's what they have to do. They need to depend on the play action. They need to give it to him in space. And honestly, he will be the key to them to making up for what I think is a weakness on the Bills offensive line. That's the key for them to at least making this a game.
I want to say this too. Bills had a great game where they manhandled New England. Chiefs had a game where it was 0-0 against the Steelers after the first quarter. Steelers go up 7-0 because the best defensive player in football makes a play, defensive touchdown. Here's the tricky part. The Chiefs, better than anyone I've ever seen, can turn it on just like that. They scored 42 unanswered points at will within a quarter and a half. They didn't have to try in the fourth quarter, and they laid an egg in the first quarter. So at some point between halfway into the second quarter and the end of the third, they manhandled the Steelers. I know the Bills are better than the Steelers. Don't get me wrong. But at least from a defensive standpoint, the Bills do not have TJ Watt. So I don't know if someone's going to make that type of play to help them out like that. But I'm just saying the Chiefs are better than they were in week 4 or 5, whatever it was.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with that. You know, the whatever you jumble you just said about the fucking shitty Steelers. But The Bills are better than they were in week 4 or 5, whatever week it was. This defense is clicking way better than it is. Players are making plays. We're the number one scoring defense in the NFL. Like, this is a defense that Patrick Mahomes has never seen. It is different than it was in week 5.
You're right. It is different. It doesn't have their best cornerback.
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it's not going to matter. They've been playing better without him. And you could say it's about the receivers and the quarterbacks.
Not in this game.
Not this. I'm sorry.
They're not playing the Titans.
Stop.
Dude, we're just being realistic here. That's it. They need to overcome that. And honestly, I don't know how they overcome it.
You're out of your damn minds. I'm not saying the Bills are going by 50. But
we think Patrick Mahomes is better than Mac Jones?
No, the media says that Mac Jones is better.
What?
Have you listened to the media? Mac Jones is the best quarterback in the NFL.
All right.
I'm repeating what they're telling me.
Okay, well, we're not the media. We're...
We're better than the media.
We're real.
Sure. We're real, kind of. No, but come on. You think they're going to absolutely lay a fucking egg?
No, I don't think it's a blowout either way. Like they have in the challenges. Past few times.
We're being real.
No.
So how much do they win by then?
More than two scores.
45-10, I swear to God.
More they'll win by more than two scores.
More than two.
Right. More than two scores. More than two scores.
Really?
More than two scores.
DJ, really?
Keep receipts. I'm not wrong very often. That's fine. I'm right more than I'm wrong. That's fine. Oh,
so am I.
You thought the Jags were going to win the division last year.
No, we all thought the Jags were going to win the division.
No, you thought that. We did not think that.
Yeah. Listen to the season preview, asshole. You definitely said, get Cousin Carmine.
Okay, but in all honesty, the Bills' wide receivers are all healthy. That's where the Bills have a chance, and Singletary has been a dog. That is where, and I think the Bills' rushing defense is better than the Chiefs' rushing defense. Like, I don't, like, and Allaire might not even be healthy. I know that game from what will make the point that they're not even going to need a layer, but that's still a critical thing.
I honestly think the way that their other running backs, they use their other running backs. I think I know he's probably the best overall running back just talent wise, but I think schematically, I think the other running backs work better.
Like, I don't think the Chiefs have an answer for Knox. I don't think so. It's going to be a bloodbath and it's going to be really good game. It's going to be stressful as fuck.
I think you're going to see a battle of the tight ends for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, Milano can't cover Kelsey. That's been proven. So,
hey, at least he's playing in this one.
Yeah.
And Sorensen can't even cover his bald spot.
Well, that, yeah. I would expect a lot of Honey Badger on Knox.
You can try. I still don't like that matchup. Still, I mean, Knox caught one. Didn't Knox catch one touchdown or not a touchdown, but he caught a sick pass against JC Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it'll work. I'm just saying that's their best.
Yeah. No, that's their best option because it can't be whatever his fate. That Sorensen guy, he fucking sucks. Chiefs suck. Yeah. Fucking hate the Chiefs. I hate the Chiefs when I hate the Patriots these days.
No bias here, guys. None.
No, the only thing I'm going to say, here's my prediction because we got to wrap up. But my prediction is the Bills win. The difference is Josh Allen's legs and his ability to improvise when things go off script. That's the difference. He's the X factor. It's Dawson Knox as well. But I think Josh doing what Josh does, anytime he does that and he does it well, the Bills are tough to beat. And I think that's the difference. And I do think they win by more than two scores. And by two scores, that could be two field goals, by the way.
No,
you can't do that.
I said two scores.
Bills win by six. I'm not hearing it. No.
You bunch of assholes. I said two scores. You didn't specify what kind of scores.
So could have been two safeties. No. So two scores could be, yeah, I was going to say two scores could be 4 points.
Deflate your lungs, bud. Sorry.
That's what I said, buddy. Come on. Oh, my God.
All right, Gabe. Okay.
One thing I think people forget every year, people try to predict playoffs based off of what they saw in the regular season And I'm not saying that goes more towards one team or another or a fan base or another. I think just in general. I think games in general just don't go how they did in the regular season. I think playoffs are a different animal, that there are just certain plays that you can't even script in your mind that happen that determine them. I know that could happen every week in football, but I think it happens more so in the playoffs. I'm sorry, I got to give the edge to Kansas City by 2 scores in DJ's language.
So 2 scores.
Chiefs by 4 or 5.
Unbelievable.
Hey, if I'm wrong, I don't tell you.
Okay, well, final word for me. I just think the Chiefs at home, they know Andy Reid, we didn't even talk about the coaches here. Andy Reid is still a great coach, and I believe he still has a little bit over McDermott. I think I'm going to have to go the Chiefs here by 7.
You think Andy Reid has McDermott, but Belichick didn't?
I don't know, man.
Flat out didn't have the team.
They didn't have it. The Chiefs do have the team.
The Bills beat them by 18 in week 5. 18.
Again, I really think the difference in this game is last time the Chiefs were without one star, their best defensive player. This time the Bills are without their best
defensive player.
I really think that's the only difference in this game.
Also, the Chiefs
had 4 turnovers.
Yeah, they won't happen again.
Also, the Chiefs' offense was just not the same. Their offensive line was still getting it together. There was just a lot of things going on that just
look.
What do you mean their offense wasn't what it was? They ran 79 plays to our 54, and they had 39 more yards.
They weren't
39 less yards. Look,
they had their slump, and then they won 9 of 10. The Bills lost to the Jags, but you say, oh, they're a different team. Well, the Chiefs could be a different team too.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the box score from the last game, and the Chiefs won in almost every statistical category, and we beat them by 18. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's a battle of turnovers. I don't know if you could just say Mahomes is definitely turning
it
over 4 times.
We can't depend on those turnovers happening again. Like, remember.
Could it happen? Yeah, I'm not depending on it.
And remember, DJ, this is pretty much a flip of a coin. Me and Gabe.
It really is. I'm not saying it's completely one-sided. I just think home crowd and one star player minus another star defensive player is the difference in a 4 to 5 point game.
Literally, flip of a coin. It's going to go down to the wire, and I just think, that's just how it is.
I can't wait to give you guys your pink slips next week.
We'll take it. Okay. All right, fine, yeah. I'm ready to go down. That's just how we see it, and whatever happens, happens.
Look, if the Bills win by, a real 2-score game, I'll come on this show and give you all the credit in the world and say I don't know shit about football. If the Bills win by 3, you can't. I'm sorry.
All right. You want the? I think 10 is the number.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. If the Bills win by a field goal, what Gabe said, because okay, if the Bills find a way just to kick their ass, and okay, you know what? Congratulations, gabagoo. We'll go to your house. We'll do a dance around you, and then we'll just
I'll dress like a leprechaun and do the Irish dance for you,
and I'll dress up like.
Don't say it.
Yeah, don't say it.
You're better off not saying it.
We'll praise you as our God, one savior.
Trust me, I don't think, like I said, I don't think the Bills are a slam dunk here, but I just don't. I see them winning. I just do. If next week I'll apologize for being wrong if I'm wrong.
If it's a coin flip and one team, no matter which team wins, if it's a 3 to 4 to 5 point game, no one has to apologize because that's just what it is.
Yeah, if it's a good game, we can all be like, you know, but.
Now wait for the no-name halftime show to tell you fuckers off.
Okay, but if the Chiefs, okay.
Gabe, tell the audience how much money I would have won last week if I would have bet the Bills being up by 24 or more at halftime.
What was it, like 800?
No, it was way more than that.
Well, I don't know what it was then.
It was like 1,800.
I'm sorry. You can't predict that. You just can't. If you were taking that bet, it wouldn't have happened.
Make sure you Venmo me. You know my Venmo.
Caesar doesn't give a shit.
I'm not giving you that money. It's not my fault.
No one gives a crap about. No one cares. It's like,
what do you mean? Oh, it's not your fault. DJ? Italians are the bookies. They control this shit.
No, wait. DJ, exactly.
I'm telling you, the Chiefs are going to win by five. Listen to the words I'm saying. This is the signal.
Holy fuck! Unbelievable.
Oh shit! We forgot to. Everyone, please go to Buffalo's Best Pizza in Orchard Park. They have amazing pizza. They have great beer. They have a great crowd.
Friendly staff. Friendly great staff. Ownership.
Great place.
Eat local, drink local, live local. I don't know. Go to Buffalo's Best.
Look, I'm objective here. I can't pick favorites.
Yeah. Okay. We're a
Bills podcast. Let's be honest here. Who are we? Who are we?
Guys, we're smarter than like 98% of the people that do this shit.
They're not smart either. No one's smart.
Wow. Yeah. We didn't alienate half our audience.
If it was up to me, I would just give out where the Chiefs win in this matchup and where the Bills win this matchup. And we have to pick a score. That's how it works. I'm sorry, bud. Sorry, Sonny.
Wait, we got to pick a score. We got
to
pick a score?
No, we don't have to pick a score.
Okay, no, pick a win. I'm sorry, pick a win.
Okay.
We did that.
That's how me and Gabe feel. And you have to live with it, okay? You're going to sleep just fine, okay? You're going to sleep. You're going to take your melatonin. And then you're going to roll over like the Irish baby you are. It's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Cousin Carmine.
Why are we getting ethnic here?
Okay.
Whoops. All right, guys. So if you're still around and you like us, definitely follow, subscribe. Or no, just follow us. Sorry. Subscribe to somebody else. So follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at 71 Blitz. And then make sure you follow at Trainwreck Sports because the train never stops. Get all your Bills and other sporting news from us and Trainwreck.
And remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the back of your white Bronco, in the brewery of Brickyard Brewing, on the side of Electric Avenue, in the same aisle as Ryan Fitzpatrick. Anywhere you can get your premier Bills content.
Go Bills!
All right, guys, have a good weekend and enjoy.
See you guys at halftime.
Peace out, table breakers.
Later.